I'll pray for us. Father, as we think now about what mums doing their best teaches us about Jesus and what he did for us, help us to say thank you for those who have mothered us and to know you all the more because of what our mums teach us. Amen. So that's where we're going this morning. We're going to have a think about what mum on a good day, what mum doing her best teaches us about Jesus. But before we get there, perhaps we'd just like to have a think, why might we even want to celebrate Mothering Sunday? Is it not all a bit gender specific? I mean, I imagine most of you blokes are like me. I'm a new man. A bit 90s might sound, but I do the washing up and everything. Not the frying pan. Better to let that soak, really, and I'll leave Bianca to pick that up along the way. So, if we're all totally domesticated, why would we celebrate something that all seems a little bit 1950s? What's more, Mothering Sunday is a bit of a commercial mugs game, isn't it? I mean, if you're a retailer of some sort, I'll bet you're pleased it's Mothering Sunday. You'll sell a load of stuff that you wouldn't otherwise sell. But the rest of us, we're not looking for ways to get rid of our hard-earned money, are we? All that said, I still reckon there is something about mothering. There is something in that relationship that's not quite like any other, and we know it intuitively. And because of that, we want to honour it. So our home situations have changed a lot in the last 60 years. Even though we're no one's fool with our money, people who celebrate Mother's Day do that because we recognise that this is a relationship which deserves gratitude. And the reason it deserves gratitude is because to be a mum is to make a sacrifice. And it is to make a service to all of society. Now, I know life is not magazines and it's certainly not mother and baby magazine. Some of us don't know or didn't know our biological mothers at all. And others of us did know them, but perhaps wish we hadn't. But still, I reckon, mothering in general is something you might want to celebrate. And that is because, even if not from our own biological mothers, in one way or another, we are all the beneficiaries of mothering done well. Now, maybe it's easiest to see when it goes wrong. If someone had parents or a mother who just didn't care, didn't teach any values or manners, no concern for other people, and then those mothers pass that on to their children, out on the street, you and I might suffer when we meet them. We might suffer their ill manners or selfishness or brutality. But then we meet somebody who did learn those things from their mother. Perhaps we learn someone who learned from their mother concern for the weak. Perhaps they learned hospitality from their mother. They learned unselfish values. And imagine we might say something like, you are a credit to your parents, or we might say, your mother would be proud of you. So you don't need to be a mother or even to have enjoyed a good relationship with your own biological mother to recognise that mothering does matter to us all. Someone has said, mothers are right in the middle of the not-for-profit sector of our society. Mums don't get paid. And yet, they're never off duty. And it's not because there's something written into a contract. They're never off duty because inside there is something driving them, a love and a sacrifice for their families. Debbie and the children were telling us about grace. When you hear Christians talking about love or grace, how do you even know what they're talking about? Is it just a word or have you seen it modelled somewhere? For many of us, the place where we learned what love and grace mean first was through the model we saw our mothers living out. So then mums are great visual clues to what love and grace looks like, generously giving of themselves to feed, to shelter, to protect, to provide and care for their children. Now, like I said, life is not magazines. And very often the way that that love is shown is actually tough love. It's not kind of the sentimentality we've been sold in the run-up to today. In a moment, we're going to look at a trailer from a film called Live and Become. It's about a time back in the 1980s when Ethiopia was experiencing a famine and lots of people were dying of starvation. But in particular, was one group of black African Jews who were also suffering in that famine. And because they traced their ancestry to Israel, these black African Jews, Israel came with airlifts in order to save these people. Now, in this film, there's one instance where there's a boy, this black African Jewish boy, he's 9 years old, and he dies before he can be airlifted to safety with his mother. And the film is about a Christian mother who sees death all around her, and she makes a decision that will hurt her, but will save her son. She says, go, get on the plane, take the seat that the Jewish boy will not now use, and then you will fly to safety. So have a look in this trailer and you'll see the mother pushes her son away. Her son will take another woman's hand, and that other woman is the mother of the Jewish boy who died and so couldn't take the flight to safety. Finally, the boy in Israel takes the hand of a white woman, and that is somebody who ends up adopting him. So we'll watch that now.
A drought struck Africa. Ethiopian Jews are saved and brought to the promised land. The day of the departure, a 9-year-old Jewish boy passes away. A Christian Ethiopian woman forces her son to take the place of the dead boy and to claim himself as Jewish in order to survive.
Heat.
First, the boy's biological mother has to make that sacrifice. Then for the boy to get on the plane, the Jewish mother who'd lost her son has to put her grief to one side in order to facilitate the Christian boy then getting on the flight to safety. And then she's even ill as she leaves the Jewish mother and she dies in Israel. And then another mother there in Israel adopts the boy at great sacrifice. There's a point in the film when somebody comments to the boy, you seem to have had a lot of mothers who've loved you. I don't know about you, I saw situations like that on the news in recent months. Christian mothers in Syria, for instance, under attack from Islamic State, where you see a mother, the helicopter's leaving, the mother shoves their child on the helicopter. There's no room for her. She's not going to be able to climb on the helicopter, but she takes that risk in tough love, shoving their child on a flight that's leaving there and then, knowing she might never see them again, may never hold them or provide for them personally. But because sacrificially, she knows that's the best hope they have for safety. Life is not magazines. It's tough, selfless love of a mother who does that. There are more stable situations like the UK. Sacrifices of motherhood are likely to be more subtle. I read an article recently about women who could have children but chose not to. And there were some reasons given in that by one commentator in the article. One reason for not having children was that women did not want to sacrifice the status and choices like happens when children come along. Many women who have children will earn a lot less money from pregnancy onwards. One commentator said, "Women who have made the choice not to have children are choosing not to become the second-class citizens society deems them to be once they procreate. The choice not to have children is a social one rather than a biological one. To be a mum," the article went on, "means you have to give up on certain pleasures of lifestyle, choices, and being in control of your life." I think that Jochebed, the mother of Moses, could tell us something about that. Moses' mum and dad were classic parents. They were classic parents at a time in history when Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, was killing Jewish boys. Jochebed was not going to let that happen. She made a basket, she hid her son Moses in the reeds in the Nile. In a pragmatic, strategic way, she shows classic, tough love of a mother. She risks her own life to protect her young. When Pharaoh's daughter saw the baby, although he was Jewish, she took pity on him and brought him into the palace. Like we heard, it was Moses' sister who organized for Moses' mum to breastfeed Moses, so be his wet nurse. Jochebed does that for her boy until he is old enough to be taken in as Pharaoh's, the child of Pharaoh's daughter. So it's an extraordinary story, but it's also a very ordinary story. Ordinary because it's the norm when mothering is done well for those values to be present. It's normal that mother knows there is more to having a child than money or pleasure or personal safety. Mothers like Jochebed value life. The life that they bring into the world, or perhaps the life that they adopt. They value life even beyond their own lives. And you know, it's entirely reasonable to assume that Moses himself learned those values from his mother. Moses had that as an example in his early years, didn't he? His mum modelled it first. And then think about all the people who benefited under Moses' leadership. Moses, too, he had too much substance, too much integrity to put possessions or comfort or fame or power at the top of his list. Those values, he had them and his mum had them too. In our second reading from Hebrews, we learn that Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose instead to be mistreated with the people of God. He cared more about a good relationship with God than the best that the world had to offer. Like mother, like son. He saw that there are bigger things to life than wealth and power. What I'd like you to go away with this morning is remembering that this living for something more than status and wealth is a very human thing to do in one sense. So sure, as human beings we are compromised, we're broken and very often selfish. But when you see those noble qualities in us that value life above things, it is to be human as God intended us to be. And so then it's no great surprise, because motherhood too is what God intended. It's what he ordained. So then it's no great surprise to find those values in mothering done well. One of the things that speaks loudest to us as humans in the world is saying life is something special is motherhood. The woman who lays down her life for the sake of another. The woman who brought you to birth, nursed you, raised you, and cares for you until her own end. And that is why motherhood done well is so profoundly Christian. For God, who created the whole world, created human beings to be like him, and he made us through our mothers. And the character of that creator God is grace and love. The grace and love that we see not only in mothers, but more especially in God sending his own son into the world to lay down his life for his people. See, Moses knew it would be better to suffer but be with God's people than to get sucked up into palace privileges. Jesus himself did more than suffer with God's people. He suffered for God's people. In Philippians, the Bible tells us, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, and that he emptied himself. He took the form of a servant and humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death on a cross. Without Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, there was no way, there is no way, you and I can be right with God. So Jesus endured the cross. Moses suffered with God's people. Jesus suffered for God's people. Now, if you're not a Christian this morning, you may be thinking, well, the bit about mums I knew. This idea that to be right with God, I need Jesus, is news to me. And if that is the case, please do come and speak to me afterwards. But for the rest, I'd just like us to go away remembering that Jesus, like Moses' mother, who lives and teaches those values of God's kingdom, and every other mother who does that, Jesus did not live for himself, but instead laid down his life for us, so that we could receive life forever in a right relationship with God the Father. What we've seen today, in general terms, I hope, is that motherhood itself is an expression of a pattern. It's the way God made things, and you can see a pattern, an often hard, costly pattern, sacrificial living for the benefit of others. That is love. That is grace. And specifically, I'd like you to remember that Jesus himself is an expression of the way that the Creator redeems us. Hard, costly, sacrificial dying for the benefit of others. That is love. That is grace. So today, I'd encourage you, with gratitude in your hearts, honour your mothers for their gift of life and sacrifice to us. Not just by saying something, not just by buying something, but with our lives we'll do that. And every day, with gratitude, let's honour Jesus' gift of his life for us. Not just by what we say, not just by some coins in the offertory, but with our own lives. He brought us new birth by his blood, by his resurrection, and by his Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for Jesus. We thank you that by who he is and what he did, we are saved. We thank you that the way many of us learned first the character of love and grace was through the people that mothered us. Today we give you thanks for mothers in the lives they have lived for us. As we honour them, we pray we would see also in their sacrifice something of your character and of your Son's great sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.